Welcome to the oral history interview of James K. Polk at the Polk Residence for Dr. Flint's oral history class, New South Voices, Wednesday, March 21st, 2007. Mr. Polk, thank you for agreeing to participate in this project.
Good. Glad to have you in my home.
Okay, this interview will be focused primarily on Black entrepreneurship in the Brooklyn community. Some early forms of entrepreneurship that have been noted in the Brooklyn community come from Rose Leary Love's book, Plum Thickets and Field Daisies. In the book, she references certain Black entrepreneurs that had close ties with the community. One such example is the Iceman. Can you tell me a little bit about the Iceman as far as you know?
Oh, the Iceman was certainly an entrepreneur in the community. He would purchase large blocks of ice from the ice manufacturing company, if you will, and then go into the community and sell that ice based on what folk needed in terms of size, whether it was 25 pounds or 50 pounds or whatever. And that is the way he operated his business. He was an entrepreneur in the true sense of the word.
Okay. Were there any other entrepreneurs that shared a similar basis like that?
Of course, there was the coal man and the wood man and some others, and they operated basically the same way, coming into the community street by street, hawking, if you will, their products so that people would know they are there and people would come out to purchase.
How frequent did these entrepreneurs have connection to the community?
Some of them almost every day, some of them probably several times a week, but they pretty much determined when the people they sold to, what their needs were and when those needs occur. Of course, the wood man and the coal man, their work would occur, you know, during the cooler months to make sure that people were warm in their homes.
Okay. For instance, the vegetable man, did he have, or let me go back to the ice man. How did these entrepreneurs have close relationships with the Black community? Did you believe that there were close ties in the way that they conducted business? For example, instead of having, it seemed to be a more trustworthy situation where they would leave the money for the people and they trusted them to fulfill their job even if they weren't there. Can you speak to that a little bit, sir?
Oh, I'm sure there were times when they supplied, if you will, folk who were in need of their product, the ice, for example. If the ice man had a close connection with a community of people on the street, oftentimes he would come in, put the ice in the refrigerator, if you will, or the ice box, and maybe collect later. Or if there was an agreement that they would supply the ice at a given point in time and the money would be put somewhere on top of the ice box so that he would receive pay for what he left. So there was a trust level between the resident and the ice man in this particular case. And that also could be true with wood and coal. Or vegetables, the people who come through and sell watermelons, if you will, or vegetables during the summertime. And many of them had a tract of land in some cases where they would raise their product and bring it to market, or they would purchase it wholesale and bring it to market to the community and sell it as any other good entrepreneur would do.
Okay, thank you. It is noted that you grew up in Greer Heights, named for the renowned Arthur S. Greer. Can you tell me in relation to where Greer Heights was in relation to the Brooklyn community?
Greer Heights was, of course, east of Brooklyn, going out Highway 74. It was not a very long ways. Now it is probably within 15 minutes of Brooklyn as we would travel today. But it was close enough proximity at one time that young folk from this community walked to Brooklyn to attend school at either Myers Street Elementary School or to Second Ward High School.
Okay, can you tell me of any general business icons, influences that you can remember that in your community that they had ties to the Brooklyn community?
Oh, there were several. For instance, the Greers. The Greers established a funeral home in Brooklyn after having operated a grocery store in Greer Heights. I recall one person who was in the dry cleaning business, and I believe I was told a part owner of a dry cleaner on Second Street, but resided in this community. And I'm sure that there were several others who connected with people in the Brooklyn area and different kinds of businesses.
Okay. The Greer Funeral Home. Can you tell me a bit about your experience with the Greer Funeral Home and how that was during that time period?
Well, Greer Funeral Home was established, I believe, in 1931, and it was one of several funeral homes operating in the Brooklyn area. There must have been maybe three or four at that time operating within the geographical area of Brooklyn. And there were others, of course, throughout the community. But Greer's Funeral Service started in a house on East 1st Street and later moved to the corner of 1st Street and Alexander Street, which is diagonal across from Second Ward High School, and stayed there until the 60s and moved out to Stateville Avenue during the urban renewal era.
Okay. Can you talk about some of your relationship with Brooklyn personally, as it relates to certain business owners, businesses that you remember, prominent businesses in the Brooklyn community that you might have had some connection and contact with growing up?
Well, there were several businesses in Brooklyn. Of course, at that time, that was the area where most black folk visited to do business with some of these companies, and there were a number of them. There were drugstores, the barber shops, restaurants, dry cleaning places, and other types of businesses located in the Brooklyn area. And folk, of course, that was where most folk in Brooklyn and outside of Brooklyn visit those areas to shop and do those things they needed to do or to purchase.
Okay, can you tell me, for instance, there's noted that the shoe shining businesses were prominent. in that area. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
A very prominent business in the area. There were several people who were in the shoeshine business, and they were good at it in that they could really take care of shoes for people, whether they be a solid color or white and black or whatever. And they pride themselves in being a good shoe shine person. Many of those folk, of course, then had the occasion to do business with other people in town and more in the central city, and would oftentimes bring shoes into Brooklyn at their places to shine them and then take them back. So that was a very interesting and thriving little business for black entrepreneurs at that time.
Okay, as far as restaurants, can you talk a little bit about who you remember being the premier entrepreneur as far as eating establishments during that time period?
Well, there were several of them. On 2nd Street, along 2nd Street, several restaurants owned by a number of people who were well known in this community. There were restaurants along McDowell Street, people who were owners who were well known in the black community, and a few other places. But the people who owned those businesses made an effort oftentimes to become involved in civic affairs and church affairs, etc., and did a good job of that.
Okay. Can you talk about, I know one noted business or thing that people needed was recreational facilities. One such is the McCrory YMCA and the YWCA. Do you have any recollections of those institutions?
Well, certainly there was a YWCA in Brooklyn on Brevard Street, and it operated there for a long time, just south of the library on the corner of 2nd and Brevard Street. And there was a YMCA on 2nd Street in an old building. And it was later moved to what is now 3rd and Carwell Street, where that building, the new building, still stand and serve as a part of the United Way properties and use. But that leaving 2nd Street, many prominent people in black folk in Charlotte got together and made some fundraising effort to build that YMC there in Brooklyn at that time. So, and I'm sure there were other places where people frequent parks, areas where kids could play ball, do a number of things, recreational kinds of things throughout Brooklyn.
Okay, you referenced one entrepreneur that was big in the black community then and still is today, was the barbershop. Can you talk a little bit about the barbershops that you remember in specific areas?
Barbershops in, of course, in Brooklyn were very interesting businesses where if you wanted to learn what was going on throughout the community, more particularly in Brooklyn, you would go to the barbershop and get all the barbershop talk that was going on. So people would oftentimes go to the barbershop, one, to get a haircut, and oftentimes they would go just to pick up on conversation when the information of the news was not out in the limited edition of the newspapers. So a barbershop was always one of the places where they were in on what was happening. The barbershop is not the barbershop of the day, because oftentimes today you have both a barbershop and a beauty shop operating out of the same facility where they serve both men and women. During that time, it was strictly limited to a men's barbershop or a ladies' beauty parlor. So kind of interesting businesses. And again, usually the people who operated those businesses were well-known and pretty prominent citizens in the community.
Can you recall any of the barbers' owners' names? For instance, Thad Tate was a prominent business owner that owned a couple of barbershops. Can you recall any?
Oh, yeah, there were several. Thad Tate was kind of an exception to that rule, because Thad Tate operated a barbershop actually outside the limits of Brooklyn. He operated a barbershop. It was either on 3rd Street or 4th Street, but his customers were white. He did not cut hair of black folk in that barbershop at that time. He had a very thriving business and became very successful, and because it was a good business, he was able to do a number of other things in terms of acquisition of real estate, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, other than him, who do you know any, or can you name any prominent barbers that people knew back in the day?
Oh, I can't recall the names of all of them, but they were around, and the barbers, of course, they involved themselves in certain things, of course, like anyone else who was interested in certain kinds of civic affairs. And usually it was church, and some other type of community affair, supporting various and sundry kind of projects.
Okay, can you speak to any of the grocery stores that existed at the time? Do you remember any of the names of the stores and how those stores related to the black community in Brooklyn and surrounding areas?
Well, grocery stores were black owned and operated grocery stores were in Brooklyn, and I recall certainly one on 2nd Street. I believe the man's name was Dwiggin. That was kind of a classic grocery store on 2nd Street. Now, while there were a number of other grocery stores in the community, oftentimes they were owned by people who lived outside of the community, and oftentimes owned by white persons in Brooklyn.
Okay, thank you. Can you talk a little bit about pharmacies and drugstores? One such noted is Queen City Pharmacy.
Queen City Pharmacy, of course, was on the commercial strip for black folk, and which was 2nd Street. Actually, as I recall, it was kind of late coming into the community. And it was built, I believe, in a new building. It was constructed to house the Queen City Pharmacy. And it certainly served its role in the community. And it was where folk could come to the doctors, and also the drugstore would be there. A number of doctors were, offices were housed on 2nd Street. So things really kind of fit together. And Queen City was there, as I recall, until it later moved to Batesford Road. And all of this being during the urban renewal era.
Thank you. Can you speak to the banking entrepreneurial tracks of people in Brooklyn that you remember? That what kind of banks do you remember existed in, or did banks exist in those areas, and where, if you can recall that, sir?
I do not recall any bank in Brooklyn. That is certainly not within my recollection. I'm not suggesting it was not, but I don't recall having a bank in Brooklyn.
Well, okay. Can you talk a little bit about the Mecklenburg Investment Company?
As I know, the Mecklenburg Investment Company, of course, that was not a bank.
Yes.
It was a group of people who got together and owned a historic building that yet stands on the corner of Brevard and 3rd Street. That group of investors owned that building, and a connecting building to it was owned by another group of investors. Some of the same people owned that building. So, but they were people who were investors in property that was there for rent. And that's, I'm sure, how they earned income off that investment.
Okay, thank you. Can you talk about some of the nightclub owners? Jimmy McKee was dealing with the Excelsior Club. But can you talk about any of the nightclubs that you may have heard about in Brooklyn, in the Brooklyn area?
To get to Jimmy McKee, Jimmy McKee's stepfather lived in Brooklyn. And it is my understanding that he was very supportive of Jimmy and supported him when he opened the club on Bayswater Road. And that was a connection from Brooklyn to Bayswater Road. And I remember him. I remember him well as a interesting person who lived not very far from the funeral home and who visited there and talked about community affairs oftentimes. However, I am trying to recall any nightclub in Brooklyn as such. There was a place where people went for entertainment off 2nd Street that was called the Green Willow Garden. In the Green Willow Garden, there were times where people would go in to dance and to hear musicians. There were things like boxing matches that were put on there and other kind of entertainment. But I can't recall of a nightclub as such. Well, there was on the corner of 2nd and Myers Street, there was a club, and I guess it could kind of, I guess you could call it a nightclub, but it was more or less kind of a private club that was owned by J.C. Graham. And it was there for quite a while, on the corner of 2nd and First and Myers Street. I can't recall any other place that would fit that in terms of being a club, a nightclub as we know it.
Okay, thank you. We've talked about your relation to Arthur Greer. Can you talk about your specific relation to the Greer Funeral Home, what it is today, sir?
Today, I'm associated with Greer's Funeral Service as chairman of the board for the funeral home. I worked for the funeral home some 5 years back in the 60s, and I was working with the company when it moved from Brooklyn to Statesville Avenue, again during the redevelopment era. It was a very interesting business to me to have the opportunity to work with people when they were in need of someone who would listen to them, and in some case provide counseling and understanding as they go through the trials and tribulations of having lost a loved one. That was a good experience personally for me, but we were there to see that business grow from First Street to Statesville Avenue, where A.S. Greer built a new building, which was probably one of the first new funeral homes constructed from the ground up as a funeral home. Usually, funeral homes were converted from a building or a house and renovated to accommodate a funeral home business. This funeral home was built from the ground up, which at that time was something kind of special.
Okay. I know you've had a lot of experience with the funeral home business. Can you talk about one noted funeral home in Brooklyn was the Alexander Funeral Home, and can you talk about some of their origins? For instance, as it being Sid Cole and where the location was originally, how it kind of started.
Yeah, Alexander Funeral Home certainly is a well-known funeral home in this community and has been in existence for a long, long time. It's my understanding that they were the outgrowth of a company that was owned called the Sid Cole Company, and Sid Cole came into Charlotte to establish a funeral home from Atlanta, and Alexander Funeral Home was an outgrowth of that particular funeral home, and it was many, many years ago. I think it was certainly prior to establishing of Greer's in 1931, so they've been around a long, long time.
Okay. There's been a noted section of Brooklyn called Blue Heaven that people have been referencing. Can you tell me about a little bit about Blue Heaven, where the location is, and what it is, in your opinion?
Blue Heaven is a section of Brooklyn that was east of McDowell Street. It was near Moorhead Street. It was just one section in Brooklyn along the creek at running under McDowell Street and down through parts of Blue Heaven. Hill Street was a well-known street, and it was, I guess it was, it's Hill Street because it was at a high level leading up to Moorhead Street, while the properties, I think, were adjoining along Hill Street and Moorhead Street. This extended down to almost to Pearl Street, where Playground, Pearl Street Park existed at that time. I'm not sure how they got the name of Blue Heaven. It could have very well been, and I'm sure some of the historians would come up with this answer, but it could have been because a laundry was located on the corner where you drive into Blue Heaven, or the entrance to Blue Heaven, And oftentimes they would let out dye from the laundry. I'm sure that they used it to in their laundry operations. And it would oftentimes be blue waters in that creek, oftentimes. Maybe that's how they came up with the name of Blue Heaven. But anyway, it was there. And I certainly recall it because oftentimes I played baseball, and one or two, a lot of people who lived there also played baseball. And a couple of the managers of our team lived on Hill Street in Blue Heaven. So it was fond memories for me to be associated with people in Blue Heaven. And particularly in involvement in baseball.
Can you talk a little bit about black entrepreneurship in Blue Heaven?
I do not recall. I do not recall any entrepreneurs in Blue Heaven. And I'm not suggesting that it was not there. I do know there was a store, church, and in fact, I guess on the edge of it, at Stonewall Street, there were several churches. But anyhow, I don't recall a place of business in Blue Heaven. And I could very well be wrong on this, but I certainly don't recall any. I'm sure that there were people who were into various and sundry kind of occupation who owned their own business, and maybe they were in the landscaping business and other kind of business who resided in Blue Heaven, but I just don't recall any in my recollection.
Were there any other forms of entrepreneurial pursuits other than established businesses going on for the black community in that area that you may know of?
In Blue Heaven?
Yes, sir.
No, I don't. I do not.
Okay.
Now, remember, Blue Heaven is a part of Brooklyn. So that made something different. You're talking about slicing off one segment of Brooklyn that is designated and known as Blue Heaven. Now that across Stonewall Street, which was the divider, as I recall, for Blue Heaven and the other part of Brooklyn, on that side, there were a number of businesses, a number of entrepreneurs operating on the, I guess, north side of the community, of from Blue Heaven, along McDowell Street and others.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time, sir. I appreciate all this information, and we'll update this and get everything in, and I appreciate your time, and thank you.
Good to have you. I hope I've been of some help in sharing at least what I know and I recall in my time in working in and being involved in some things in the Brooklyn community.
All right. Have a good day, sir.
Thank you.